Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus.
Amen. This morning we are going to focus in on Genesis chapter 9. You might want to keep that handy here this morning, that text in the back of your bulletin, and the story about Noah and the flood. Making deals. We make deals almost every single day of our life, don't we? Almost every single hour, some sort of deal. Some of the deals that we make are good. Some of the deals that we make are not so good for us, and the deals don't go so well. Have you ever gotten a bad deal with something that you purchased? Yeah? Everybody? Yeah? I thought I had gotten a really good deal on a flight that I purchased many years ago. The flight was from St. Louis to Miami, Florida, and I thought, this is a great price. I'm getting a great deal here, and bought it pretty quickly. But then, of course, going to the airport, Lambert International Airport in St. Louis, I realized that really wasn't a great deal. You see, the flight was delayed, then they delayed it again, and then they outright canceled the flight sitting there. Anyone ever had that happen to you? Bought a deal, canceled flight, not so good? So the way that the airlines kind of worked it was they gave us a new flight with a one stop over in Atlanta and a dinner voucher in Atlanta, but a 5-hour layover in Atlanta. So after all of this, they're sitting in Atlanta. I was thinking, my goodness, this wasn't such a good deal. I think all of us here this morning can say that we've been a part of deals that really aren't so great and we feel sour about it. But you know, there's something behind the scenes that uplifts our society when deals go wrong. We can appeal to the authorities. We can appeal to police and a legal system to really take care of things. And that's what I did with this ticket. I called the airlines up and told them about what had happened, and they gave me a rebate for the next flight, $150. That happens when deals go wrong. We have a system in place to take care so the deals are the way they should be done. Deals are throughout the Bible. Except there's a little word that's different here in the Bible. The deals that are made are called covenants. In the Hebrew, it's called berit. They're covenants that are made, and God makes a lot of deals with his people. People like Noah, Abraham, David, and Moses. And this morning, that word appears, berit. God is making a deal with Noah. Now, one thing that's different, maybe you've not heard this before, but deals were done a lot differently way back way a long time ago. And I want to explain it because I was shocked when I was reviewing this. This is how a deal worked, okay? The two parties would get animals, one particular animal. The second thing you did when you made a deal was this. You cut the animal in half. Now, I am not advocating that, and this isn't a statement at all. Don't walk home and say, wow, pastor said to cut animals in half. That's not what I said. I'm just describing what they did. The animal was cut in half, and the third thing you did when you made a deal, a covenant, is you separated the two halves and created an aisle in between the two halves. And then the two parties would get in between the two halves, and that's when they would state their end of the bargain. One person would say, over there by the tent, I'll give you that land. And the other person would say, I'll give you those 15 camels there over on my property. And that's the way it worked, in between that aisle way between the two animals. And then the final thing that you did, and this is important for our message today, is that you'd always say these words, always. May I become like the animal if I do not live up to my end of the bargain. And you shook hands. Wow. Is that crazy? See, in the ancient world, in the covenants that are made in the Bible, the words that you spoke and the promise that you made, that held a deal together. There were no police, there were no authorities, there was no legal system. When you made a promise, it was sure and you couldn't go back on it. It was there. That's covenant, Old Testament language. You know, that's a hard thing for us to think about. Do we believe all the words and promises that are spoken to us today? Do you believe all of them? No? I don't think we do. Here's a couple phrases that we teach to our children. We're doing it as well in our household. Let's see if you can finish off these phrases. This is the way the teaching goes in today's culture. If a deal is too good to be true, how does it end? Then it probably is. That's right. My dad actually taught me that because my grandfather believed every single piece of mail that came in the mailbox. There's a new car down at the Toyota dealership. My grandpa thought, oh yeah, I'm going to win a car. My dad trained me, if a deal seems too good to be true, it probably is. What's another one? Here's another one. Don't believe it until you see. Yeah, don't believe what you see. Don't believe what you hear from people. You got to see it. Words don't count for anything. Here's another one. I hear it all the time. Actions speak louder
than words.
Yeah. It's not that words aren't that important, but words aren't that powerful. Actions are really important. See, the Old Testament actually says the opposite. It says that your words matter. Promises matter. Deals, when deals are made between God and his people, what is said comes true. God makes a deal with Noah here in Genesis chapter 9, a berit, a covenant. It's between Noah and all the living creatures and all generations. This covenant's actually made with each one of us as well in this text. God says, never again, Noah, will any living creature die by the waters of the flood. Never again will the earth be destroyed by waters. And then God gives a rainbow, a sign to Noah. And remember, if you made a covenant, you followed through 100%. I imagine Noah was really rattled when he heard this promise from God. If you ever see the movies today, one of the most endearing images that you see on screen and one of the most comforting, tender moments is the story of Noah and his ark. The Bible doesn't present it that way. This is the most destructive event of the entire Bible. Noah's rattled. You see, he's been on the ark, we believe, for about a year at this time. Think of all the stinky animals. The rain came down for 40 days and 40 nights. Then Noah and his family, they're there on the ark for 1 year, is what we think. And when he comes out, gone are all the other animals, gone are all the other people, gone are all the old familiar place, you know, the McDonald's of the day and the Wendy. All those things are gone. There's nothing left. All Noah has is his family and this ark and just a promise. That's it. Just a promise from God. That's all Noah has when he gets out of the ark. It's not a cuddly, cute story. It's about a man that has one promise to live on, a word. Same thing happens with the other covenants. Abraham, all he's got is a word. Moses, a word. David, a word. Can you live like that? Have you ever just lived by a word or a promise? That's it. That's all you had was a word or promise. Think about that. Happened to me one time. Not everyone here knows the story. Alicia's not here, so I can share it. See, when we were pregnant with Claire and close to delivery, we had everything planned for the delivery. You know how that goes. Drive to Good Samaritan, the hospital, then labor will take like 2.5 hours. And then after a couple days, everything goes well with great food at the hospital. Then we'll go home and have many sleep-filled nights, and it'll go just great. Anyone plan for that? Is that the way it works? Well, of course it doesn't work that way. The one part that did go right was going to Good Samaritan. That worked out okay. But then labor took somewhere around 20 hours, and it was long, and it was, I was exhausted. The man does all the work, right? After 20 hours, things weren't really going so well, and a doctor came into the room, and he had a very serious look on his face. See, this is how Noah felt with the ark. I really do believe this. Noah was rattled. And the doctor came in and said, Jeremy, this isn't going well. We're going to have an emergency C-section. And my first thought was this: oh, all right, that sounds good. And I said, all right, should I follow the bed down the hall and we'll go into surgery? And the doctor said, no, I don't want you to come. Don't want you to come. I want you to stay here for a half hour. And then he gave me a promise. It will be okay. That's all he said. For a half hour, you see, I lived by a promise and a word. And I'm telling you, I parsed that promise out. I thought about it for a half hour. It will be okay. I thought to myself, it, what does it mean? Does it mean the baby will be okay? Does it mean my wife will be okay? Does it mean the entire process will be okay? And finally, about a half hour, I realized the doctor gave me a promise. He's an expert. I ought to listen to that and put my trust in that word and his promise. You see, God did a similar thing with Noah, friends, this morning. Noah's rattled. The whole world has been flipped upside down. Noah's not cuddling up to the animals. He's scared. He's scared about how the future is going to go. And at that critical moment, God speaks a word of promise and tells Noah, never again will I do this. Here's the rainbow. And he promises to watch over Noah, and Noah lives the rest of his life with just a promise from God. See, God has done the same thing for all of you, my friends. You may be rattled here this morning. You may be upset about the circumstances in the world. God gives you his sure promise. In the waters of baptism, you have been baptized. 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says, when Peter brings it up, he compares your baptism to Noah's ark. Baptism now saves you, Peter says. See, just as the ark saved Noah, and it was the promise to keep him safe from the waters around him, God has given you a promise that you will be safe and be given life and eternal life through the waters of baptism. And God has staked his very reputation on that promise to you. He can't revoke it. God can't say one thing and do another. That's not an attribute of God. God makes a promise and he follows through. He's given you that promise, life and eternal life, and it's right there for you. He did it for Abraham. He did it for Moses and David. And you know, with many of those individuals that got a promise from God, they didn't live up to their end of the bargain. Abraham didn't. Remember Abraham? He goes off and tries to have a child with Hagar, not his wife Sarah. God remains faithful to his promises. And friends, he always will for the promise he's made for you in the waters of baptism. If you're rattled like Noah, remember that promise. You have the same promise Noah received. You know, we live in a world where words don't mean a lot. Promises kind of go out there. We're flooded with promises from all sorts of people. And it kind of makes us grow weary, and we tend to distrust other people because these words that go out. Here's my challenge for the Peace family this morning. What if we followed the example of God in the Old Testament and made sure and certain the words that we spoke to others? God was faithful in his covenants, even though the people that he made deals with were not always faithful. What if we remained faithful to the words that we said, the promises that we made, even when others don't follow through with their end of the bargain? That's crazy. The world doesn't operate that way. You know the way the world operates? It goes to the authorities. It goes to different structures to figure out things. That's not God's way. God's way is that we follow his example and follow through on the words and promises that we make. That's covenant language of the Old Testament. And when we do that, we bring trust and grace into the world that so desperately needs it. Amen. Let's pray about that this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you for your words. If that's all we had in life, Lord, if all we had was your word and your promise, we would thank you for that and live by that. Lord, help your word and promise to give us confidence in life. No matter if we're rattled, no matter what we face in life, let us know that we have a sure foundation in your promise and your word alone. In Jesus' name, amen.